This episode of the Italian Wine Podcast is brought to you by the new book, Sangiovese, Lambrusco, and Other Vine Stories. Researchers Attilio Scienza and Serena Imazio explore the origin and ancestry of European grape varieties in a tale of migration, conquest, exploration, and cross-cultural exchange. Hardback available on Amazon in Europe, Kindle version available worldwide. Find out more at italianwinebook.com.
Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Walden. My guest today is Ondine de la Feld. No, I said it wrong. Ondine de la Feld.
De la Feld.
Okay, let's start again. Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Walden. My guest today is Ondine de la Feld. Ondine is going to tell us about the Tenuta di Tavignano, which is a wine estate in the Le Marche region of Italy. Welcome.
Hello, welcome to everybody.
We got to start with your name, which is a cracker of a name. I hope I pronounced it properly. What are the family ins and outs at Tavignano?
All right, so it's a winery staying in the Marche area. But the origin of the family comes from many areas of Europe. We are talking about northern Europe with Aymeric, the name of my uncle, and then northern France with de la Feld, the name of my father. And my father have English, half from Naples. The Aymeric are a family half from Sardinia, but coming from Spain and with these northern origins. So my name is Ondine de la Feld, Aymeric. So it's very, very special because we are coming from whole Europe.
So really a real European winery.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't ever vote for Brexit. No, we've got to stay off that subject. So how big is the estate?
The estate is around nearly 300 hectares.
Of land?
Of land. But the winery, it's around 31 hectares. We have primarily a local cépage.
Grape varieties?
Varieties that is primarily Verdicchio de Castigliesi, so Verdicchio is our best effort we put on our winery and production. Then we have Sangiovese and Montepulciano for the DOC called Rosso Piceno. We have some Cabernet Sauvignon that will help some quality of our wine, and Passerina that is a local variety.
It's a white wine grape?
Yeah, from the Marche.
Okay, so and what's the name of the village that you're in, or the town?
We are the village, the municipality is called Cingoli. At the Roman time, it was called Cingolus because all the area of Verdicchio de Castigliesi and most of the Marche were under the Roman Empire. So we can go back to many, many architectural vestige coming from the Roman time. And our winery used to be a fattoria, a Roman fattoria, and with overviewing all the area.
So fattoria is a sort of a mixed farm, yeah?
Yeah, fattoria was the Roman time, the farm, where at the Roman time they say that wine was already produced in that area. Okay. So there was all an area of cultivation and agriculture of goods that would be taken to Rome, to the capital.
Okay, so Cingoli is a very special place in Le Marche.
Yeah.
And it's called, what's its nickname? It's in Macerata province.
Macerata province, and it's called Le Terrazze delle Marche.
So the balcony of Le Marche.
Exactly.
Why?
Because from the top of Cingoli, you really see from the mountains, the Apennine, to the sea. And it's really like to be on a stage on top of the Marche, on top of the world.
And this is important in terms of terroir because, as you say, you can see towards the sea, you get the sea influence, but also you get cold night air from the Apennini, from the Apennine.
Exactly. You have this movement from the air coming from the sea that is more temperated, and the temperature of the mountains, and so there is a go and forward of the wind that help the the Marche area and the Castelli di Jesi area to be organic.
Yeah, it's one of the hotspots for organic wine growing in Italy. Okay, let's go through the your wine range. A lot of people forget that Verdicchio is a great grape variety for sparkling wine. You make a sparkling wine, don't you?
We make two sparkling wines.
Ah, okay, go on.
We have a Metodo Classico, that is a Champenois method.
Okay, traditional method, champagne style.
Exactly.
Made
with Verdicchio. Mm-hmm. And then we have a funny little product that is called the Naughty Boy. In Italian is Il Pestifero. Okay. That is our, let's say, our game.
Petillon Naturel?
Yeah, it's Petillon Naturel. Is to have some fun because we are a very traditional winery, very respectful of ethical attitude and for the land, but we like to have fun, so we have created 3-liter monsters. We call them the little monsters, and we play with them. It's like a bit Mercedes with Smart.
Okay.
And we are, let's say, Tavignano, it's very serious, and our smart side is the three monsters, and
okay.
We is re-fermented on the bottle.
Okay, so it's it basically ferments in the tank, and then it goes into bottle, and that's it? And it
with,
gets sealed.
With some sugar on
it,
and the sugar will start fermented, and we have the pétillon starting from that.
Does it have a little bit of a sediment?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a Petillon Naturel. So what do you drink that with?
With
as an aperitif on its own?
Aperitif is nice,
yeah.
But actually it's nice with a fried food.
Fried fish?
Yeah, fried fish and chips.
Okay.
And any kind of cheese. And. Yeah.
So now you mentioned the grape variety called Pecorino. Tell me about Pecorino.
Okay, Pecorino is a variety very well known around the world. I think it's for the sound of the name.
What does Pecorino mean in English?
Pecorino in English means cheese.
So
the
sheep.
Pecorino cheese.
Yeah.
Or maybe the animal too, because it was the first grape to be mature and to be eaten by the animals that used to cross the mountains.
The sheep, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So, and what would you... That wine is bottled quite early. It's not oaked.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you drink that with? What Marchigiano dish would go with that?
Let's say more fish dishes and mussels and
Okay, you also make you're doing a skin contact white wine like an orange wine. Is that right?
Exactly, the orange wine is part of the monsters.
Okay.
Okay. It's called La Vergine.
Okay.
Vergine because it's virgin, because it's less manipulated than a normal traditional wine. So we like it to call La Vergine because it's pure.
How many days on skins normally?
Around between 15 to 1 month, depending
okay.
on the years,
okay.
on the vintage. Because.
So what difference would there be if I said to you, this year was 7 days and another year was 30 days. What would have been the difference in the weather during that season to make those decisions and during winemaking?
Because when it's very hot and has been very sunny, the skin gets darker. And sometimes when it's too dark and the skin has taken a lot of sun, maybe the taste is too strong.
Too bitter.
And too bitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we like it to have it a bit more gentile. Gentile.
Gentile, yeah. Kinder to your palate.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Let's talk about Verdicchio. Why is it such a special grape variety?
Verdicchio, I think, is very special because it's very... it has a lot of minerality. It's very elegant. And it's not very strong on the flavor.
It's subtle, isn't it?
Yeah. So people, let's say that people would understand more wines that have more flavor, more fruity smell.
Like Sauvignon or something, you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are people who are more attracted than that. The Verdicchio is like a very intelligent woman, not being just flashy and beautiful, but more sophisticated. It takes more time to have a fashion in front of a big
stage
audience.
Okay.
A big audience is sophisticated and is well known in front of, let's say, the wine writers would say that is one of the best wines in Italy.
Yeah, one of the best white wines for sure. Yeah.
But it's not flashy.
Yeah.
So
it's not like a Sauvignon.
In 100 people, maybe we will have 40 that will have time to study and to really understand Verdicchio.
Yeah, it's not a grape that's polarizing. Like Sauvignon Blanc is very polarizing. People love it or hate it, whereas Verdicchio is sort of in the middle.
But I'm telling you that it's a special wine because of the taste and because of the quality, but it has a very cheap price. Okay. So how could
you mean
put
good value
together? So if you can find Verdicchio for a very low price, so you are spending low to have a very good wine, but people don't understand that. Mm-hmm. Low price means a popular wine. So there is a problem with the price and the wine. That's why we are not the Verdicchio has some difficulties, because the price is for a popular wine that is not popular. So we should, in the Verdicchio area, we are, all the producers are trying to understand and to go together in a clan and study what we can do, because we need to make understand to the audience that is a special wine.
It's that a premium
needs,
wine that's,
that yeah. needs the special price. Mm-hmm.
So why do you call your entry level, if I can call it that, your biggest production, Verdicchio, is called Villa Torre.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Villa Torre?
Villa Torre, it's because it's the Verdicchio di Castigliesi is Castelli di Iesi. We have many castles. And one of the castles, the old castle, was Stavignano, Castello di Stavignano. And we have, on top of our winery, a tower.
Okay.
So it's called the house of the tower, the villa.
Torre is a tower.
Yeah. Torre is a tower. Yeah.
Okay. So when we're talking about the Castelli di Iesi, the idea that you had, I can't remember how, it's 23 villages, isn't it, that were sort of fortified towns.
25.
Under Frederick II, Holy
exactly.
Roman Emperor. Okay. Now you do.
Because two castles are on the Macerata area.
Okay.
Apiro and Cingoli. Okay. All the other ones are on the area of Ancona.
Okay. Ancona's on the coast. You also make a Verdicchio di Castelli di Iesi Classico Superiore called Misco. Why is it called Misco?
Misco, the river that pass on the edge of the estate is called Musone. And on the Roman time, the Musone was called Miscus, because most of the rivers of the area could allow the navigation. Because I was telling that on the Roman time, it was used as a production of agriculture, so all the goods would pass from the estates to the boats going to the sea and then to Rome.
To the Adriatic. Okay.
And the Musone was called Misco. The Misco is a single vineyard wine, and is the best parcel we have. And we have dedicated the name Misco to this parcel that is on the edge of the river. And all the rivers of the Marche, they are perpendicular mm-hmm. of from the sea and the mountains. So they are like tunnels, beds, where the wind from the sea will go all till the mountains.
Yes, it's good for drainage as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and being on the edge of the riverbed, it means that the Misco receive all the wind from the sea, and it's quite pleasant for the minerality of the wine, for the salty side of the wine. That make it very electric and very alive.
Mm-hmm. So you're in calcareous clay soil, aren't you?
Yeah. It's half calcarea and half argile.
Okay, so the clay gives a bit of body in the calcarea.
Yeah, it depends on on the top is more calcarea. When it go down, the slot on the bottom is more argile. So we have a difference between the two. So each parcel of our winery is the vinification is separate.
Yeah.
So we can control the acidity, the freshness of our wines every vintage. Because now with the weather changing of the weather, we always need to do nice blends of the parcels, mm-hmm. Except from the Misco, that will have only his own blend, because it's the best we can have anyway, because it's half on the bottom with the argile and on the top with the calcare, and with the exposition, it's always gave us the best wine that has been awarded many times by Gambero Rosso and Media Awards in Italy.
So essentially you also make a Reserva under the winery name, the Tenuta di Damignano. And what's interesting about your Reserva is you don't oak age it, is that correct?
Exactly.
So why do you do that, or don't do that?
Okay, because the Verdicchio has a very special characteristic. After 2 years aging, it will change taste, and it will go much deeper on honey and almond,
yeah,
and anise.
Licorice?
Exactly. So this change of characteristic on the taste is it's similar of the one you have with the oak. So we really believe that with the oak, you lose a bit of this quality of the Verdicchio. So yes, we keep it the most authentic as possible.
Yes, yeah, so that's very sensible. It means that you're not wasting money on something that you don't need.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's move on to the reds. You mentioned that you had some red varieties. You've got Montepulciano and Sangiovese. You make a red called Cervidoni. What's the name?
Cervidoni is a locality just next to our estate.
Okay.
So it's just to give a name of the area where we are.
And it's a Rosso Piceno.
Rosso Piceno is very interesting because the name is not really well known, Rosso Piceno and Piceno, but the Piceno civilization was, before the Roman time, it was a very sophisticated civilization, bringing the writing in Italy before many other civilizations all around Europe. But still, when you say Rosso Piceno, it's been a bit forgotten. It's a Montepulciano and Sangiovese is a blend, really a winner blend.
Why?
Because it has the strong part of the Rosso of the Montepulciano, that is very powerful, and it has a bit of softness from the Sangiovese, and because coming from the Marche area is a marine wine with a lot of influence from the sea, I think the blend is really special, really really pleasant.
And again, that's unoaked as well, isn't it? You let the fruit speak.
Yeah, okay. We use oak on the reds.
Okay, so what about, that's the Cervidoni, I thought that was unoaked, but you do also the Libenter.
The Libenter, it means in Latin, welcome.
It's another Rosso Piceno.
Yeah, it's another Rosso Piceno, but it has a bit of Cabernet Sauvignon.
So mainly Montepulciano, then about 25% Sangiovese and a little sprinkling of
exactly.
Cabernet Sauvignon. Okay.
Okay, to have a bit more international blend. As you know, we are not international. We really put the characteristic of our winery, even if the family is Euro defined. We like to be local. We really believe that the future is to be as local as possible.
Okay. And finally, you make a wine called Lacrima di Moro d'Alba, which is a DOC, and it's called Barbarossa, and it's from a grape called Lacrima, which is quite idiosyncratic. Tell us about Lacrima.
Okay. The Lacrima, we are in our estate, we are not allowed to, we produce Lacrima, but we are not allowed to bottle it in the estate using the Lacrima because Lacrima needs to come from the Lacrima di Moro d'Alba territory. So we have a friend that produce the Lacrima, and we do a joint venture. So we follow the production with this friend, and we do a Lacrima that is produced in the Lacrima di Moro d'Alba. Because it's a closed territory, mm-hmm. that whatever, I mean, you need to bottle it in the Lacrima, yeah. The Moro d'Alba area. And we like to have it because when we travel around the world with Tavignano, it's nice to offer with our Verdicchio the most important varieties of our winery. So we do a Lacrima that is only fresh and stainless steel.
What are the typical flavors of Lacrima?
It's like cherry and
red ones
little,
or dark
the
ones?
Little strawberries from the woods.
Okay, wild strawberries.
Yeah.
So the grape varieties Lacrima was faced extinction, I think, the mid-1980s, I think there were just 5 hectares left in Italy.
Yeah,
and now it's it is always going to be a niche wine, I think, but it's nice to see that it's still being taken care of by, by some producers.
Yeah, the Lacrimae is very, very special because it's sweet on the nose and
savory to drink.
Savory.
What do you drink? What, when you drink it, what do you eat? What's the favorite dish?
We love in the market area to pair it with charcuterie.
We'll get right back to the Italian Wine Podcast after a quick reminder that this episode is made possible by the book Sangiovese, Lambrusco, and Other Vine Stories, available on Amazon in Europe and Kindle worldwide.
And what's your famous salami? What's it called?
The famous salami is called... now you're asking me.
Your famous sort of pasta dish is vinci sgrassi.
Vinci sgrassi.
So
okay.
What's that?
The vinci sgrassi is like a lasagna. Mm-hmm. But it's cooked with many kind of meat, mm-hmm. Especially pork meat. Mm-hmm. And the salami is called ciauscolo.
Ciauscolo, yeah, that's good right there.
Exactly.
We were in the market like a couple of weeks ago. My son, he's 12. He loves ciauscolo.
Yeah.
And vinci sgrassi.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, I'm not going to come with you. So I had to go and do a wine tasting thing. So I'm not going to come unless... You let me do this. Okay.
So you did the trip of the market
with
your son.
Marque, yeah.
Ah.
The Terroir Marque.
How old is he?
He's 11, going on 35.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah.
So he will be a wine drinker.
Yeah, he can put a finger in a glass of my wine, and he can taste the wine on his finger, and he has to give me 3 flavors.
In Italy, I mean, in my family, most of the Italian families that produce wine, when they try wine. Since they are like 13, mm-hmm. you know, they have a little drop just to understand. Yeah. And there is, when we drink a wine, we always serve a little bit to my children. We have 3, and they have to say why they like it, why they don't like it, and if they need to recognize the grape variety. And it's always a moment together to talk about it.
You're gonna have masters of wine children.
I hope.
You know, so. So I want to say thanks to my guest, to Ondine de la Feld. No, Ondine de la Feld.
Exactly. Thank you, Monty.
And, I'm a big fan of the Marche. And the way you, where you're saying, it's a stunning, stunning, stunning area.
Stunning area. I wait for you in the winery. Oh. We have a guest house. Yeah. So it's always beautiful to come and stay some days.
Yeah. It really is sort of like a hidden...
At least 3 days.
Hidden part of Italy. It's like, because you're so quick to drive through that area. As soon as you get off the beaten track, it's like its own little world, isn't it?
Yeah, because...
Do you ever feel really isolated there? Were you happy with that?
We feel isolated. We're not happy with it. But we know that because we've been isolated, everything is like a little treasure when we discover it or when we take our guests to go around, so it makes it more special than maybe to go in our areas that are much more well-known and, okay, to visit a beautiful town. It's been... all over the networks, and in the market is not like that. If you would come and go and visit Cingoli, you will. I bet you never saw it in any pictures.
Yeah, it hasn't been spoiled at all.
At all, and it used to be very, very rich because Ancona was a duty free
harbor.
Yeah. And all the families that would develop around Ancona would become really rich because they would have the goods arriving and then distributing to all Europe, becoming very rich, and they would develop their own house and their own palazzo in all the towns. So all the towns you will see around the Marche, they would be like little Venice or little treasure of the Rinascimento, of the Renaissance. And you couldn't believe that such treasure are hidden like that in a world that all whatever it's consumed today, you really wonder why it didn't happen to Marche. You know, the world today is eat and throw, mm-hmm. eat and throw. You know, fast food, and in the Marche it didn't happen, and it's a bit of a mystery. But
Yeah, it was far, far.
But it's good for us, maybe. Yeah.
It was much, the market was much, didn't, you know, the sort of move to really heavy industrialization of agriculture that took place at the end of the 60s and early 1970s elsewhere in Italy. It really didn't happen in the Marche because of various reasons, because of history and land ownership, etc. And it's, in statistically, Marche is also very well placed in terms of organic farming in general and organic wine growing in particular. And
I would like to add.
Yeah, go on, fine.
What is well known about the Verdicchio is that the Verdicchio can age. So we are talking about something similar to the Chablis. Why I'm saying Chablis? Not because the organoleptic characteristic of the Chardonnay, but because of the land of the Chablis that has so much minerality that that allows the wines to age. And the aging capacity of the market comes from the land, but comes from the genome of the Verdicchio too, that can age very, very well. So we have Verdicchios of 10 years that still...
Or 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, of 20 years. So now the trend of the producers that is very encouraging is to start aging wines, even if... the price of Verdicchio is still low, even if it's very expensive to age wines. There is a lot of passion, and the young producers and the producers are doing a lot of effort to have an area of the winery for the aging of the wine. So I think in a few years it will be something that will be very well known about the area to be organic and to have aging wines in the wineries to be some vertical tasting. So I think it would be
It's a very flexible variety. Is it still dry white wine as an aperitivo and also wine that can age? And what you're saying is absolutely right, that that's a side of Verdicchio that many of us, even in the wine trade, never see, and also for Passito wines and sparkling wines. So very well placed and definitely undervalued for historic reasons, but I think it's in context, and particularly again in the Marche, your style of farming is a very coherent way of adding to the potential longevity and complexity of this particular grape variety. And your farming in general is very, very coherent. I'm lucky I travel all over the place. I'm not just saying that for a laugh because you're sitting next to me, but I was there a couple of weeks ago doing a presentation on organics, and it's really joined up, and it's definitely got a certain mentality, a way of thinking, and also that spirit of cooperation, which you don't always find in some regions. I'm not going to name any of them, but it's good to see the producers getting together with different varieties and really trying to add value to their region, not in a horribly naked commercial sense, but because
we don't care about the commercial side. That is maybe our problem, but somehow what is important is that our wine is the best, and sometimes we do a lot of effort, spending a lot of
energy
to do a fantastic wine that maybe on the market we sell at a price that cannot pay what the effort we put in it, but we don't care. What we care is that someone trying it will say it's fantastic, you know, and that is our payback.
Okay, and on that note, I want to say thanks to my guest today, Ondine de la Feld from Tenuta di Tavignano in Cingoli in the Marche region of Italy. Nice to talk to you, and I promise when I drive through that area again, I will stop and say hi.
Okay. All right? Thank you, Monty.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Great. It's really nice.
Goodbye to everybody.
Great stuff. Thank you. Yeah.
Listen to all of our pods on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and on ItalianWinePodcast.com. Don't forget to send your tweets to @ItaWinePodcast.